Good evening. I hope that everyone is safe and doing well. Tonight we're on the eve of Tisha B'Av, and it's obviously it's a very sad time nationally for all of Am Yisrael. After all, this is the saddest time of the year for us, mourning the destruction of the Bate Migdash. But it's also, Bifrat, specifically, a very sad time for myself and for many that are watching tonight, because tonight, tomorrow, is the Yahrzeit of a very, very dear friend, Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit, Baruch Tzvi ben Reb Ruvei Nassan, and tonight is his first Yahrzeit. And tonight's shir will be Le'iloi Nishmaso, Le'iloi Nishmas, Harav Baruch Tzvi ben Reb Nassan, ben Ruvei Nassan. So in Mirtz Hashem, this shir should be an aliyah for his neshama, and he should continue to be a Melitz Yosher, to be an advocate on our behalf, that we should be zoche to be able to come into Eretz Yisrael and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and ultimately for Sfiyas HaMeisim as well. Okay. So I want to start out by asking three questions. And two of them will discuss the very famous Gemara in Meseches Kitin that discusses the Charban Habayis. And the third will discuss the Gemara in Meseches Tainus. So let us begin. The Gemara tells us about the famous story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa. It's a Gemara that's found in Meseches Kitin, Daf Nunhei Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us Dahu Gavra, there was a certain man, Dirachme Kamsa Ubal Debove Bar Kamsa. Dahu Gavra, there was a certain man who had a friend whose name was Kamsa and an enemy whose name was Bar Kamsa. Ovad Su'udasa, he made a Su'uda, a feast, and Amarle Lishame, he told his attendant, Zil Aisili Kamsa, go and bring for me Kamsa, so that he can come and enjoy the Su'uda, the party. Azil Aisili Bar Kamsa, instead of bringing Kamsa, he brought Bar Kamsa. Asa Ashkeche Dahavi Yosef. When the Baal HaBayis had come, he found that Bar Kamsa, his enemy, was Yosef, was sitting. Amar Le, he said to his enemy Bar Kamsa, Michti Hahu Gavra Bal Devava Dahu Gavrahu. Look here, Michti, look here. Hahu Gavra, that man, referring to Bar Kamsa, is the enemy of that man, referring to me. My Ba'is Hacha, what do you want here? What are you doing here? What are you doing at this Suda? Kum Puk, get up and get out. And again, Amarle Bar Kamsa said to him, Ahoyel va'asai shavkan, since I have come, allow me to stay. V'yahivna lach demei ma do'achilna u'shasina, and I will give the value, the worth of what I ate and what I drank. My first question, without continuing on in this very well-known, famous Gemara, is how is the Baal HaBayis talking? Michti, let us see. Hahu Gavra, that man, referring to Bar Kamsa, is the enemy of that man, referring to himself. How is the Baal HaBayis talking? All he has to say is that, what are you doing here? You are my enemy. That's the way normal people talk. That's the way normal people converse. He's talking in third person. He's talking in such an unusual way, especially when you're talking directly to a person. Michtiyahu gabra bal debaba dahu gabra. Let us see. That man, Ahu Gabra, which is referring to you, Bar Kamsa, is the Baal Debava, is the enemy, Dahu Gavra, of that man referring to me? That's not normal. That's unusual. Why is he directing this discussion and speaking in such a difficult way? Maybe he didn't get out and get up because he didn't know who he was talking to. It's very possible. The Baal HaBayis is having this discussion. That man, and Bar Kamsa is just looking around, not realizing the Baal HaBayis is talking to him. Why is he discussing and having this dialogue with his enemy in such a skewed way? It's question number one. Question number two. Is the Gemara prefaces this story, this very well-known, famous story, by telling us that it was Akamsa Ubar Kamsa Chor of Yerushalayim. It was the episode of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa that caused the destruction of Yerushalayim. But then when you continue with the story where he had said that he wanted to pay whatever he ate and the Baal HaBayis said no. Then he offered to pay for half the party and the Baal HaBayis said no. Then he was willing to pay for the entire party and the Baal HaBayis said no. Nakte biyade v'ukme v'afke. He grabbed Bar Kamsa, he stood him up and he threw him out. The Gemara continues and says, Ha'al v'havi yasvi rabbanon. Since the rabbanon, the rabbis, they were sitting v'lo mochu bei, and they didn't make a macha, they didn't cry out that what was being done was injustice. Shema mino kanichalahu. It must be that what the Baal HaBayis had done was nechalahu, was proper in the eyes of the rabbanon. So what happened? The Gemara continues and says, Ezal Eichel Behu Korsa Beimalka. So I'm going to speak Lashon Hara against the Rabbanon in front of the royal emperor. Ozel Omer Lehu Kesar, he went and told Kesar, Mardubach Yehudai, that the Yehudi, the Jews, they're rebelling against you. Omer Leh. So Caesar said, Mi Yemar, who says, Amar Leh, Bar Kamsa says to Caesar, to Caesar, Shodilahu Karbana, bring them a karbon, Chazazi Makwivan Leh, and let's see as to whether they would accept this offering. Azal Shodar Biyade Egla Tilta. So he went and he sent an Egel with Bar Kamsa, and as he was going off to Yerushalayim, so Bar Kamsa Shodar Be Muma Benir Svasayim. Bar Kamsa caused a mum, a blemish, upon this Egel's upper lip. V'amrila bidukin sheba'ayim. Perhaps some say it was a blemish in the eye. But nonetheless, either way, whatever it was, Klal Yisrael, we don't bring up as a karban such an animal with a blemish. So sav rabbanon lekarvei. However, the rabbanon had thought about bringing up this animal, mishum shalom alchus, in order that there should be peace, harmony, that they shouldn't think that ultimately the Jews aren't appreciative of the Roman government. Amar lehu Reb Zechariah ben Avkulas. Reb Zechariah ben Avkulas said, but yomer bali mumim kraven legabi mizbeach. But then people will say that to bring up an animal that has a mum is acceptable. It's permitted. It's allowed. So sover lemiktele. So the Rabbanan had thought that we should kill this individual. We should kill Bar Kamsa. Dulo lezel velema. So that he would not go and tell Caesar that this karban had been refused. But ultimately, Amar lehu Reb Zecharia said to them, Yomru meitil mum bekachim yerag. But then people will come and say that one who places a mum upon an animal is chayav misa, is liable to die. So ultimately, the Gemara continues and says, Amar Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan says, Avsanusos Shereb Zecharia ben Avkulos, the humility from Reb Zecharia ben Avkulos, Hechriba es Beisenu, destroyed our bayis, our Beis Hamigdash, Visarves Hechalenu, and burnt the Hechal, Vihilusanu Meartzenu, and ultimately brought us into exile. We were expunged from the land. And then the Gemara continues. And the Gemara says in Dav Nun Zayin, Amud Aleph, Zok the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tanya, it was taught in a Braisa, Amar Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says, Bo ure'e kama gedola kocha shel busha. Come and see how great, kama gedola, how great is the power of busha, of embarrassment, of shame. Shaharei siyaya HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bar Kamsa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had helped Bar Kamsa in his grand plan of taking revenge for him being shamed. The Hechriv is Beso, that ultimately the Beis Hamigdash was destroyed, Visarav es Echalo, and the Hechal was burnt. So from reading this Gemara, one can get mixed messages as to what was the cause for the destruction of the Beis Hamigdash. Is the cause for the destruction of the Beis Hamigdash the humility displayed by Reb Zecharia ben Avkulos, that he wasn't willing to paskin, he wasn't willing to decide the fate of Bar Kamsa? Or was it destroyed like we initially thought, like the Gemara gives as a preface to this story, because of Bar Kamsa going to Caesar and openly discussing the rebellion of Klal Yisrael? Which one is it? On one hand, the Gemara seems to tell us it was due to the humility of Reb Zecharia ben Avkulos, Hechriva es Beisenu Visarves Hechalenu. But on the other hand, it seems to be taught in a Braisa, Bo ure'e kama gedola kocha shel busha, how great is the power of embarrassment, of shame. Shehakadosh Baruch Hu misayeya es Bar Kamsa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped Bar Kamsa carry out his devious plan. And ultimately, it was that devious plan, that Hechriv is Beso, that ultimately caused the destruction of his bayis, Visarav es Hechalo. Well, which one is it? Is it the humility of that great, great Tana? Or was it the devious plan of Bar Kamsa that ultimately brought about the destruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bayis? And my third and final question. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Tainis, based upon a pasuk in Shlach, Vatisa kol ha'eda, it says in the pasuk uksiv, Vatisa kol ha'eda, and all of the Eda raised their voices, Vayinu es kolam, Vayivku ha'am balayla ha'hu, and they cried out on that night. And Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Oso hayom erev Tisha B'av haya. That day was erev Tisha B'av. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Klal Yisrael. Atem bechisem bechia shel chinam. You're crying out a cry for naught, for no reason. Vani kovea lochem, I will establish for you a bechia lidoros, a cry for generations. And obviously we know that this was and ultimately became the saddest day in the Jewish calendar, Tisha B'Av. The night that we wail, that we cry, that they cried, that they wailed, was none other than Tisha B'Av, the day that both Batei Migdash were destroyed. They lamented their fate, and we lament ours. But the obvious question that one has to ask, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Am Yisrael after they raised their voices and cried, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Atem bechitem bechia shel chinam. You're crying for naught, for no reason. Is that true? Is it really for naught? Is it really for no reason? There was a reason. The Torah tells us, Vayomru, Vayisaprlo, Vayomru, Bonu el Oretz Ashishalachtanu. We came to the land which you had sent us. And indeed it's true, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. However, Ephes, Ki az ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz. The people that inhabit the land, they're powerful. Ve'harim b'tzuros k'dolos ma'o, they're fortified. Ve'gam yilidei ha'anak ra'ini sham. And we saw the children of giants. Amalek yoshev ba'aretz ha'negev achiti v'yavusi ha'mor yoshev ba'har. It's a land that's inhabited by other nations, by strong and powerful nations. We aren't able to come and overtake these people. We'll never be able. Lo nuchal la'alos elam ki chazak kumimenu. They're strong and mighty, powerful people. And ultimately they began to cry. Why is that a b'chia shel chinam? Why is that for naught? Aren't we taught that we have to empathize? We have to be able to give credence to what people are saying. We have to validate people's emotions. Isn't that the right thing to do? Isn't it being an empathetic person, a person that has great sympathy for others? When they're crying, we allow them to vent. And we tell them, I hear your concerns. There's validity to that. But perhaps look differently, or look at it from a different perspective. So why is this b'chia shel chinam? It might have been wrong. We could have said to them, we hear your concerns, but understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so much stronger than them. That's not a b'chia shel chinam. That's not a crying for naught. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to their crying? It might have been a distorted reality. But most times, when people are crying, it usually is distorted. But yet we validate their emotions. We explain, we hear where they're coming from. But perhaps look at it differently. That's not a b'chia shel chinam. We have to validate people's feelings and emotions. And if this is what they're feeling, it's something real. And we explain to them when they calm down. Understand, dear B'nai Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's been there and done that. We can rely upon him. And now they'll think they've taken a step back, they've gotten out whatever their emotions were. That makes sense. But b'chia shel chinam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says, Atem b'chisem b'chia shel chinam, v'ani koveh lochem b'chia ledoros. Is that a b'chia shel chinam? How do we understand that statement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chia shel chinam? I believe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching. I believe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is suggesting. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and tells them that it's a b'chia shel chinam, in essence, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them, that it wasn't a cry for naught, because they explained why they were crying. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was explaining. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bochein Levavos, the one who is truly able to understand the very innermost feelings, the subconscious of all humanity. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling them is it a b'chia shel chinam. What does that mean? It was a cry for naught. The Pasuk tells us in Parshas Bahaloscha, V'ha'asafsu v'asher b'kibro, the rabble that was in the midst, his avu tava, they desired meat. They desired whatever it was they desired. They weren't getting, they felt. Vayashuvu, vayivku, they wept. Gam b'nei Yisrael, and all of b'nei Yisrael, vayomru, they said, mi achilenu basar, who's going to feed us meat? Zocharnu es hadaga, they remember the fish, asher nochal b'mitzrayim chinam, that we ate in Egypt, b'chinam, for free. And Rashi comes and explains that they ate fish in Mitzrayim for free, im tomar shem Mitzrayim nosnulem, dagim chinam, to suggest, explains Rashi that they ate fish for free. The Egyptians were actually willing to give them fish. They weren't even willing to give them straw. They're willing to give them fish for free. And therefore, says Rashi, quoting the Sifri, Umahu Omer Chinam. What does it mean, Chinam? It means Chinam min ha-mitzvos. That it was free from mitzvos. They didn't want the responsibility of mitzvos. They wanted the life of Egypt. When they had no responsibility, there was no HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was no Torah, there was no mitzvos, there wasn't the yoke of Shemayim upon them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is turning to the Meraglim and says, Atem b'chisem b'chia shel chinam. You're crying a b'chia. You're crying b'chinam. Because you don't want the responsibility of the mitzvos. You don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael because Eretz Yisrael has a whole new set of responsibilities. As the Rambam tells us, based on the Pasuk in Acharei Mos, Vatitmo ha'aretz ve'efko ravono alea. The land became contaminated. And I remembered its iniquity upon it. And ultimately the land will spit them out, will disgorge its inhabitants. And the Ramban comes and asks a very insightful question. Why should immorality cause the people to be expunged, to be disgorged from Eretz Yisrael? That's not the mitzvos that are teluyos ba'aretz. It has nothing to do with the land. The Ramban explains so eloquently, so beautifully, and he says that Eretz Yisrael, unlike all of the other lands of the world, is governed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeshli Moshav Ba'aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, His Shechina inhabits the land of Israel. And therefore, Eretz Yisrael has a different status than all the other lands. Eretz Yisrael is the land that is inhabited by the Am HaKadosh in the land of Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael has a greater responsibility. Ushmartim es kol kukosai, velo saki eschem ha'aretz. And this is why the Pasuk says, you shall observe all of my chukim, so that the land won't spit you out. Eretz Yisrael is the land, v'hinei kidesh ha'am hayoshe ba'artzo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified the people that dwells in his land. B'kdushos ha'arayos uberube ha'mitzvos lios l'shmo. Am Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael, it's a land of kedusha, it's a land of tahara, it's a land of riboy ha'mitzvos, of many, many mitzvos that are done there, unlike in any other land. It's the land where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is most felt. Klal Yisrael, the Meraglim, they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael because they wanted a life of Chinam without responsibility. And that ultimately is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling them. Atem b'chisem b'chia shel Chinam. You are crying a b'chia shel Chinam. You're crying because you don't want the mitzvos. You want the life of chinam without any responsibility. One might have thought that they were crying because the land was inhabited by the children of giants. The land was inhabited by all these other nations. The land was fortified. They couldn't perhaps overcome these mighty people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bochein Levavos. He's able to understand humanity and all of their statements and all of their innermost feelings. They might be saying one thing, but they weren't really in tune to their own reality. They were talking themselves into feeling that the reason why they didn't want to go in, it was just a pretext though. They might have actually believed what they were saying. If a person says something enough times, he starts believing his own rhetoric. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to clear through all of that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to discern emes v'sheker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to tell exactly what is a person's issue and what his dilemmas and what his misgivings are and what his insecurities are. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it has nothing to do with the Amaleki, with the Kanani, the Prizi, Yavusi. It has nothing to do with the giants that inhabit the land. It's a Bechia Shel Chinam. It's all about Chinam. Chinam min ha-mitzvos. To be free of any responsibility to do mitzvos. To have a Dveikus b'Hashem. Eretz Yisrael has great responsibility. Eretz Yisrael is a land like none other. It comes with a different set of rules. With a higher expectation. Klal Yisrael wanted to be still in Mitzrayim without those expectations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is a Bechia Shel Chinam. And I'm going to give you a reason to cry. You don't want that relationship with me. I'm going to take away your Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to give you a real reason to cry. You don't want that relationship. I'll take away that one building, that one structure, that one edifice in this world where my Shechina is most present. You don't want the relationship. You want to be Bechinam. You'll have all the freedom in the world. You won't have to bring karbanos. You won't have to be ol regel. You won't have to be in my presence. You'll have all of the freedom to do whatever you wish. You're not going to have my Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to show you what Chinam is all about. But only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can discern that. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can distinguish the rhetoric from what's really truthful and honest. And that is precisely how we understand the Gemara. The Gemara comes and tells us, the Gemara comes and says, on one hand, it starts out the story by saying, Kamsa bar Kamsa. But then we get sidetracked. And maybe it had to do nothing with Kamsa bar Kamsa. Maybe it has everything to do with the fact that great Tana showed great humility. That it was that Tana. It was that Tana that wasn't willing to come and paskin. It was Rav Zechariah ben Avkulos who wasn't able to paskin. Maybe one might conjure up the reason why that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed has nothing to do with our own iniquities, our own misgivings, our lack of kavod for other people. It has to do with that rabbi over there who paskined that we shouldn't kill him. So the Gemara comes and says, maybe, just maybe, it had to do with the fact that he had shown great humility. Rav Zechariah ben Avkulos, he couldn't paskin. But ultimately, Tanya was taught in a brisa. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now is adjudicating. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara came and told us that from here we see this is a proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be misayeya those. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paskining. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that's not the reason. It has nothing to do with the humility of Zechariah ben Avkulos. It has everything to do, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the way that one Jew was towards another Jew. And that is why the story starts out by telling us, Ahu Gavra, that there was a certain person who hated this certain person. And the obvious question that we asked is, why does the Gemara just not directly tell us? And the answer is because that Baal HaBayis lived in a warped sense of reality. He wouldn't take ownership of what was going on. He'd place blame on some other person. It was that person who hated that person. He wouldn't even take ownership of his destructive behavior, talking into himself that I'm not doing anything wrong. Ahu Gavra. It was that person who hates that person. The Baal HaBayis. His name is even mentioned. That Baal HaBayis, he loves every... You ask him, he loves every single person. He loves all of Klal Yisrael. Bar Kamsa, he hated Bar Kamsa. That's not me, it's some other person. Ahu Gavra, some other person that hates some other person. That's a warped sense of reality. Tisha B'Av reminds us to be true to ourselves. It's a time of Teshuvah. Yesh Sham Yamim, and on this we'll close. Shekol Yisrael Mis'ana Mehem Ibnei Atzaros. There are days that all of Klal Yisrael fast because of the suffering that had happened. K'dei La'or HaLevavos. To inspire our hearts and to open up the ways of tshuva. This is a time of tshuva to come and understand who we really are. We can't live a life of cognitive dissonance that it's some other person, Alhu Gavra. Yezezikaron lemasenu, it's a reminder to our deeds. That our bad deeds, umaisa avosenu, and the actions of our fathers is like ours. Achigarim lahem, that we ultimately brought the tzaros upon us. Let this time give us an opportunity to think and to ponder. Let us be real with ourselves, that the Mirza Hashem, by doing so, by accepting tshuva upon ourselves, by returning to who we really are, that this will be a day that turns me'afela li'ora, mishiba li'geula. We should be zochet to rebuild the third and final Beis HaMikdash. Thank you. Have a good night.